Stephen McQueen and his merry band with There's Blues Everywhere. Now, ain't that the truth? Alvin McQueen is on drums. Chessie Davis is on alto sax. Terrell Stafford on trumpet and flugelhorn. Mike Ladon on organ. Peter Bernstein on guitar. This is from Alvin McQueen's 2006 album, I Ain't Looking at You. I love that. I love that. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we try to pick up today, try, from where we left off with the madness that we're in. And it's getting madder by the moment. You know, I don't know where things are going, and I don't feel out of place because everybody I talk to is of a similar bent. They have no idea where things are going, but they do know that it is really, really challenging, not looking good at all. Well, just to pick up, Bernie Sanders is not having the best of times. He, as you know, suffered a heart attack, which initially was relayed to the public as chest pains, and actually didn't say pain, discomfort that required two stents. That's more than discomfort. But it turns out he had a heart attack. He finally admitted to that, and he's recovering. But then this past weekend, his daughter-in-law, of 46. As if that's not enough, Hillary Clinton is on the prowl again, looking to get elected. And she does love New England weather. Hint, hint, hint. So it would be interesting to see whether she actually declares that she's looking to be elected to something. And it is interesting how her frequent appearances in New England happen to be coinciding with Bernie Sanders' misfortunes. I just don't understand why she just can't go away. Just go away. But she is very, very keen. She believes she is a woman wronged by the political process. She believes that she won the election and that she's entitled to that seat, that position. But there's so much baggage that comes, you know, with the Clintons. Pick a Clinton, any Clinton, and it's baggage that you really don't need. So I was wondering whether you thought about that. What is it with Hillary Clinton that she has emerged as a carbon copy of the president? They behave exactly the same way. They are obsessed, and they are convinced that certain things are theirs. She's entitled to run for president and win. You know, she is owed that by the Democratic Party and by everybody in it. It's amazing how people get away with this stuff. This comes at a time when they've discovered, of course, even more emails, but emails of hers that are appearing or have appeared on the sex offenders sex offender's laptop. The congressman, I even forget his name now, congressman, the former congressman from Brooklyn. What is it that this country has come to? And as I say, emails, I'm talking to the tune of in excess of 300,000 emails. This was the former Secretary of State of the United States, a former Senator of the United States. And she wants what she believes she is due, which is one last shot. She needs to have what she has been owed as she sees it. So she wants that. She's been popping up all over the place. And I find it a bit, actually, it's terrible. You know, it's as if she is mentally off. She's so obsessed with this idea that she must be reelected. And it's everybody's job to see to it that it's done. So come on, people, get it done. Hillary wants to be back in the saddle again, being the fearless leader. It's amazing when you look at these people running for office and you kind of get a picture of their psychological profile, and you can see why this country has gone down the dumps. Because many of them are really, really impaired, seriously impaired. And it has nothing to do with the country and how they can make things better for everybody else. That is not it. It's strictly a personal mission. They got to make more money. That helps them do that, getting elected to some public office. It gives them status and recognition, which the media would supply, like as if they have no brains. And it secures what they believe is their place in the pantheon of heroes, so that when they die, you'd have these copious, these wonderful treatises, I should say, about what great people they were. Total lies. But that tells you the level of sickness that we have, and we can't seem to get rid of that and get down to real business. And that is kind of going around a lot, even in non-political circles. You can't pick up a newspaper, you can't go online to read the news and not be supplied with copious amounts of information of people who really, in the scheme of things, aren't doing much to advance the cause of anything but themselves. You know, these people from the Real Housewives franchise. And you're looking, I said, okay, let me go to this with an open mind. Let's see if this story that I'm reading carries anything valuable, anything worth looking at. And the story is about one of the housewives of Atlanta who recently got divorced after being married for 2 years. And all of this is suspect. We don't know. These things are usually now, they're arranged. Somebody calls the shots and comes up with a storyline. And that's what their lives become. Their lives become a storyline. And their chief job is to just thrill the public with all kinds of sordid stuff that we really have no business knowing. We should have no interest in that. But guess what? For the last couple of weeks, as I look at the lineup, the news lineup on the internet, they are at the top of what the editors of these news organizations or these news outlets seem to think is of what is important to us. We ought to know who is divorcing whom, who slapped whom, you know, who is pregnant by whom, and so forth. It is at the top of the list of things that you and I are supposed to regard as news. And they don't mind being used this way, being made into caricatures of black folks who have attained some degree of success but can't handle it. And they have, or maybe they don't care, but they have no idea that they are being marketed as caricatures. As caricatures. And that's the daily dose of news that we get every day in the African American community. This is news. Nothing about what's happening in Haiti or what's happening down south. Nothing. On the top of the list is about some intra-group squabble that would play out in the next chapter airing of whatever franchise there is. This is what we've come to. And you look at it and you say, well, what are we supposed to learn? How are we supposed to move forward when we are presented with people of, quote, substance, unquote, who speak like they've just been introduced to the language? They are intensely involved in trivia. Nothing substantive going on in their lives. They fight and quarrel with each other. And by the way, this includes people who are credentialed as physicians. And they're talking trash. That's all they do. So it's no wonder that generally we, the public, we are confused as to what's important. We don't know. We are waiting for people to tell us what is important, and what they're telling us is important has absolutely no sense, no substance, makes no sense. And they spend a lot of money to tell us things that make no sense or that have no substance. And it is as in politics as it is in the rest of our lives. We don't know what the main issues are in public education. We don't know what the big struggle is with employment or gentrification. They're not telling us these things because they assume, first of all, that you're not interested. Secondly, they're not interested. Harlem has been taken. It's not being taken, it's been taken. And yet we get these wonderful stories about, you know, the Whole Foods moving in and providing really good quality produce. That's not the story. Or we get a profile of a young career-minded person moving into a single room, a studio apartment in Harlem that starts out at almost $1,500 a month. Isn't that cute? That's what we're supposed to appreciate, but not the vicious scramble for land and for property that is displacing people to the point where the tilt has occurred. It would only be a matter of a couple of years before Harlem looks nothing like it has looked decades, since the 1940s. It has been eradicated for all intents and purposes. There are only remnants here and there, and they become of interest only because they remind you of what Harlem used to be. It no longer is. So there's been a general decline in really sharing with the public serious news, even now as the whole country has been plunged into something of a constitutional crisis. We don't know what the crisis is. They don't want to tell us. They tell us about aspects of a fight. You know, they disagree with Trump on this, or they're moving against Trump on that, but that's not the fight. Tell us, what is the fight? What is the whole picture? We don't know. Major things are happening of great consequence that we should be at least conversant with. We should have an idea as the so-called public as to what is happening. But you see, information is power. And they've returned to that maxim where only certain people should have information, the kind of information that really matters. The other people will find out after things have happened, and when they are faced with the consequences of things that have happened. But there's no forecasting of problems. News coverage is in the moment. Something big happens, and then they use it as a kind of jump-off point to discuss an aspect of where we are today. So that's where we are. I want to touch also on this business, and you know, we have to be very careful not to take sides, okay? Don't take any sides. It's bad for us. You arrive at a conclusion about things when you yourself evaluate based on facts that are available or have been made available. We evaluate for ourselves whether this is something important or not. For example, the whole business with Ukraine. And everybody is being conditioned, and I'm not carrying water for anyone, okay? Let's be clear about that. Based on the information we have available to us, we're supposed to take sides. We're supposed to conclude automatically Donald Trump is a crook and he's trying to basically kill off any possibility of Joe Biden having a good shot at the presidency. These things are true, it seems. But I'm curious. How is it that everything they've pointed to so far with regard to this whole debacle, how is it that when it comes to the Ukraine, there's a whole lot put out about Trump and his minions and what they did in Ukraine that warrants close examination and even prosecution? And Joe Biden is a saint. He's a man without a single problem against him. He has done absolutely no wrong, neither he nor his son. And therefore, we need not worry about Joe Biden and his son, because they're not the issue. They're great people. They're wonderful, law-abiding people. And if anything they could be accused of is that they want to help other people. So I was born yesterday. This is how the world works. And we're discussing Ukraine, patterned after what the newspapers are saying is the problem in Ukraine. The problem in Ukraine principally centers on Donald Trump and his buddies and pals. Biden is as clean as the driven snow. His son Hunter is as clean as the driven snow. There's not, move along, as they used to say in the old movies. Move along, nothing to see here. You see, so it is, you have to remember that in one way or the other, we have to expect that we are being lied to. Don't come to conclusions. Certainly you observe. First thing that you observe is they don't see you. They don't see us, generally, absolutely, they don't see people of color as having any role in this fight. We're in charge here. We'll tell you how it's going to work out, and then you adjust accordingly. But you really have no business in this fight. And now is a good time to say, we agree. We agree. We're not voting Democrat anymore. not until this party decides to come clean or decides to have other than a predatory relationship with communities of color all across this country. We agree with you. So we are looking for alternatives. I don't care what the name of the party is. Look at what the party says it wants to accomplish and sign on to that. This Democratic Party has not kept the faith with its very loyal supporters. Everything that you would expect that a party would be eager to show as examples of why it is the right choice to make. You can't do that with a Democratic Party. You're talking on unemployment? Well, they're absent from that fight. You're talking about racism, institutionalized racism, they're not in that fight. You're talking about the entire, with this whole business discussion about trade and the economic advantages of hooking up with countries and having bilateral advantage to that. That's not happening with Africa. Is that happening with the Caribbean? Why do you need this party? What is it doing? It has no interest. And yet, African Americans, Latinos, support it. And yet we can't show anything. We have a strike going on. United Auto Workers. And the headlines I keep reading is how long they project the strike would last. This is where a party in touch with its constituency would jump into the fray and said, and say, Why are you having so many problems? How could we bridge the gap here? What is it that we can do to bring this strike to an end? No involvement. And it is one of the largest, if not the largest, strike now in the United States of America. With many of the strikers coming from Detroit, which means big time pressure on the economies of households. They're not involved. They don't see this as important. So we have to make decisions. That's the problem I'm having. We are not making the decisions that we ought to be making. If something is of no use to you, why place a premium on it? If it ignores you, except at election time, why are you concerned about whether it thrives or survives? It doesn't concern itself with these things for you. I tell the story all the time. There was a point in my life where, I mean, if you were to look up in some kind of definition book, what a conscientious voter, a conscientious citizen would be, you'd see my face right there. Would not miss an election. Was very much involved in the politics of community advancement. I have no such delusions anymore. It's been years since I disabused myself of that notion. And leaning more and more to the fact that based on what we see, what has been proven, it's not conjecture, this is what has been proven, based on that, I got to go another way. If I am to survive, if my community is to survive, I cannot stick with this formula. It's death. They have organized a formula that befits their interests, but uses the labor and the input of others to propel them into orbit. I'm not interested in propelling anybody into orbit. I'm interested in what's happening on the ground. And it looks really bad. And it is bad. And they're talking among themselves about this crisis and so forth. You created the crisis, for crying out loud. You're partly responsible. This guy has done a tango on your head, and you act like you can't recognize it. And only in the breach do you summon up some kind of courage to put up some kind of a fight. But still, you would saddle the rest of us with the burden. We are to implement your plan to win. Win what? What do I get out of this? We have to play hardball with this party. It has wasted a lot of our time. It has wasted a lot of our resources. And it has disrespected us. Because what concerns our communities doesn't even appear on the emergency list of the Democrats. So the time has come, folks, for us to decide whether we continue to be actors in this play, which has a defined purpose and a defined end. And it may shock people, but ultimately you see it as also contributing to the dominance of white supremacy in this country. The only African-American or person of color I've seen so far being mentioned as a main actor in this play has been Elijah Cummings. Now, we're back to the old 60s, where, well, Elijah is a stand-in for all people of color. We don't need actual people of color to be involved in this crisis. We got him. He'll talk for all people of color. I'm sick of that stuff. I'm not buying it anymore. It's been years since I decided to put the brakes on all of that. And I've been trying with people I know, even if it's 10 people, get serious about those things that have deep impact in your life and in the life of your community. If they choose to catch up, good for them. But I'm not going to surrender to people who can't get the point, won't move fast enough, and in fact have been co-opted in large measure. Don't make any noise. Don't get all indignant. Just go along. I am supposed to feel very good about the fact that Nancy Pelosi is the powerhouse in this country. One day, you should really ask the question, where's your support coming from? Who are the people that you're counting on? What have you returned to this community as a signal that you work for them too? I'm tired of it. And now we're going to go through this pretense that we're having a great constitutional struggle. No, there's no constitutional struggle. This is not a big deal. Not if you're fighting. And who is sending memos to whom, and what is the response to that memo, which was a response to the other memo, which was written in response to a memo. If that's what you have to offer, I'll be happy to move along, thank you. You have no use to me. You have no use to my community. And that's the courage we have to have in this time. We can live without you. We can't live with you. You're not doing the right thing. And you're engaging in disinformation on a massive scale. You're telling people to vote for Joe Biden. He's not clean. Don't tell me Trump is not clean, but Biden is as pure as a driven snow. You think I'm an idiot? You really think I'm an idiot? Come on now. I'll pause here and then come back after this break and take your calls at 888-874-4888. See you soon. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're just talking to each other. But there's a purpose to it. Because, you know, we tend to forget things, or we tend to get distracted and we're onto something else. And all the while, the problem has been staring us in the face and we are unwilling to take a look. We are unwilling to analyze things and say, oh my God, look what they're doing to us. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you? You sound like you're on track for disaster. I don't know.
You think I'm on track for disaster?
We all are, unfortunately, you know. Joe Biden, a friend of mine gave Joe Biden $1,000 at a party. Every time I see him, I say, hey, did you take $1,000? That's worth, you know. Joe Biden, I understand he voted for. You remember when you used to, if you had a problem and you had to declare bankruptcy and you weren't a corporation or you weren't working at Wall Street or owned a business in Wall Street, you're the only ones that now can declare bankruptcy. No one else is allowed to declare bankruptcy. And Joe Biden voted for that bill. He said, yes, this is true. No one else should be able to declare bankruptcy. Only the banks and only the rich people can do it. Okay? So this right away is a gigantic red flag. This guy is a phony. He has been there all of this time while this country's chances of becoming the greatest country in the world have been constantly flushed. He's a phony, just like Hillary. When you brought up Hillary before, I said, oh, great, I can get out my Hillary for prison T-shirt, you know. This is what we're up against. We're up against this group of people, with the exception of a few new young people, AOC, for example, and the people that were put in positions because they were nobody else. They had to vote for somebody, and they voted for these people, not knowing that they voted for the right people. In fact, I'm gonna plug my own T-shirt for AOC. It just says AOC AOK. That's what it says, and I wore that the other day, and I saw some guys giving me the evil eye because of it, you know? And I wish they had pushed me, because I'd love to have laid hands on these people. That's the only thing they understand. They only understand force. They're liars. They lie and lie and lie. They have to continue to lie to cover up all the lies that they started with. It's mind-boggling that we should be in this position when we had a chance to do the right thing, you know. Spike Lee.
Well, history shows
the right thing,
we
you know?
Seldom do the right thing when we need to do the right thing. It takes years for us to realize, especially when the moments are long gone, to realize that we should have done something but didn't. Thanks, John, for getting us started today. From Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello, E. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a little soggy down here the last few days. The rain won't let up. But I guess we need the rain for the plants and stuff, so that's one good thing about it. First, you don't get any rain for a whole month of September, and then it's all coming now in October, all at once.
Be happy about it. There are places that haven't seen rain in years.
Oh, I'm happy, but, you know, like Daytona, it broke a record in Daytona yesterday, 5 inches. I don't know how many inches of rain was over there. Anyway, so do you feel that Hillary is going to be trying to run for president again or a Senate seat in Vermont?
I think Senate. She can't run for president with a straight face. She can't. But, you know, Hillary can do anything because they'll get other people to support her in doing whatever she wants to do.
Well, if the scenario plays out the way I see it, and Bernie is okay to run for president, and he goes as an independent because he's going to lose the primary to Biden somehow, because it's all arranged that way. But then that might be his final, his swan song, because he's been in there for 40 years, and now his health's getting bad. Maybe he's ready to give up his Senate seat, and they want to keep it Democratic, so he'll be working to get Hillary his seat. Maybe that's her next step in life. But I know we haven't had Charles Lortel on for a while. I guess the Clintons aren't going to jail like you kept telling us.
Oh, no, no, no. Things are happening. Trust me. Things
I know
are
the truth,
happening.
But they were supposed to come up with these figures of their charity 2 years ago, and if they didn't come up with these things, then they were going to be indicted. And nothing ever happened. And it seems
nothing
like they're better
yet.
Off now than they were 10 years ago, aren't they?
No, well, nothing has happened yet, and nothing has happened yet in the United States. There has been incredible movement outside of the United States of a legal nature against the Clintons and their so-called foundation, and many nations are now have been really preparing legal actions against them. Because hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, are unaccounted for. And that is a prime concern. Oddly enough, the foreign governments are far more energetic about it than the United States government. So the action is actually outside the United States. That's why we're not hearing anything.
All right, I'll be more patient then, and I'll keep waiting for something to happen to the Clintons. But you know, in my heart, I know this is all prearranged. There's a bunch of writers in a room thinking all this stuff up, and we're too smart. We're too smart for our own good that we think that they couldn't be fooling us this much. That this has to be real. This can't be real. This can only be written up in a script room, like a comedy series. You know, they have writers in a room. They come up with funny lines for Jerry Seinfeld. They come up with lines for Trump to say, and he was taught how to do this for 12 years with that TV show they gave him. Anyway, the point you made about Harlem is synonymous with what happened in the Middle East with Syria and Libya. Instead of being bombed out of your neighborhood, you're priced out of the neighborhood, but the same result is you're displacing people from one place to another and disrupting people's lives and getting them all mixed up and unable to think clearly. And this is by design, and I keep saying it, and you're either make them believe you don't know what's really going on because you don't want them to know that we know about it. But I always think maybe I'm talking too much, but this is the way I see it, and I see it so clearly, and I don't understand why you and the other people don't see it. Like Gwen,
I
consider a very intelligent woman.
For how long have I been reading real estate listings in order to demonstrate to listeners that this is an aggressive move to transform Harlem, to take it away. And now it is just about complete. I've been talking about this for years.
Right. Well, at one time, Harlem was a luxury place. And then when they bore it down, then they gave it to black people to have. And then they used the blood and sweat to fill the place up and make it livable and try the best they can because the rents were affordable and it was a decent place to live for them, but they turned it into a slum and now they want it back, so they price out people and they get them moving to someplace else, Far Rockaway, someplace else where the rents are more affordable. And you know, it's a disgraceful thing that's going on in the world, and it's not just happening by accident. I know you point these things out, that it's a plan, but there's more to it than that. It's really, they're following this. It's like when David from Brooklyn lays it all out for us, right? The game that they're playing. But he doesn't say it the way I'm saying it here. You know, it's the oligarchy. They do what they do for themselves, and they don't really care about it. Yeah, but it's more deceptive. It's more underhanded. It's hard to see, and it's subtle. And they've been doing this for 30 years now. When George Bush said New World Order, you talk about other countries that the Clintons got money from, they're all in on it too. They're all in on it too. But they're not going to tell us this, and they don't like me telling you this. But I'm just the guy on the phone, and nobody's listening to me anyway. In fact, one of the callers on the show here, after I finished talking, he said, I must have forgot to take my medication. I always find that highly insulting because I don't take medication. I'm very concerned about our health.
You don't have to defend yourself against comments like that. That's what he wants to think? Great. Let him think that.
Well, I didn't
anybody
have a
listening
to
you
myself.
And listening to the points that you're making would have a different opinion. So, thanks, E, for calling in. And you're closing out the program today. Sorry?
All right. Is there anything that I could comment on that you would want my view on or anything like that?
Well, I laid it out. You had several different things you could have chosen from. This was something, obviously, that was far more, far closer to your heart than the other points. But we'll catch you on another day. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. And that brings us to the end of our program today. We have to keep talking. You would be surprised at what a powerful weapon it is in dispelling ignorance, in promoting action, in getting people to understand how to take charge of their communities and themselves. We're all sitting as if in a stadium, you know, where we're watching the mythic fight between the people and the lions. And we haven't learned yet how it's going to play out. We haven't learned yet that there is a predetermined outcome. And the more that we wait for people to tell us what we ought to be thinking about, the worse it gets. I mean, I actually counted the number of articles that preceded a real bona fide news story that had nothing to do with what you and I would be concerned about. It's nothing news. It's stupidity news. But it is at the top of the ratings. The news people seem to be more concerned about ratings than about their historic mission, which is to educate and inform. And if they keep us entertained, it means we are not paying attention to what needs to be paid attention to. And so vital struggles, vital things, you know, people in Harlem, for as long as I've been talking about Harlem, you would think that this displacement, the gentrification, the taking over, is just a recent thing. You would think that. But that's the mission of the newspapers and the radio stations and television stations. They do, you know, a story here and a story there. But the structural issues that we need to handle, we need to get a grip on, will never really be presented to us as something we could do anything about. So I like the idea that we just, from time to time, let's just converse about what's going on and have no illusions about it. And that brings me again to this Biden thing. How arbitrarily people made the decision that it is not important to explain what the Bidens were doing, you know, far from home, far from the gaze of the public. And why are we to accept that notion that there's nothing to question them about? Why are we to accept that that is nothing we should pursue? Or it shouldn't affect our decision about supporting Joe Biden? Well, I have questions. I just want people to know. And when you sit and you think about it, you go, well, wait a minute. I didn't think about it that way. That's the value of having a radio station like this. Thanks for listening, and we will come back to each other tomorrow for Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.